Good morning. Giving all praises to God, to our own Dr. Janice Bryant, to Deacon Harrison, to our deacons, officers, trustees, to all of you that is present. We do thank God for this another Sunday, another month that the Lord has allowed us to come into his house and worship his name. We are grateful for all that God has done, but we stand on tiptoe anticipation to see what God is going to do. On last Sunday, I gave the benediction for our sesquicentennial celebration. But this morning, I want to look at that passage one more time. I want to look at that Psalms 100 one more time. I know it was our theme on for our sesquicentennial, but there's something in there I want to point out. Psalms 100. And we would like to read the entire psalm, but we'll only deal with verse 2a. Psalm 100, by the inspiration of God, these words are recorded. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. That's what we're going to be dealing with this morning. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. We read into your hearing Psalm 100. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. We'd like to focus on 2A. Serve the Lord with gladness. Used as a subject this morning, simply, service with a smile. Service with a smile. If you've been interacting with people, if you've been a consumer or a customer, you can understand that service is hidden on hard times. I mean, it's hard to get good service. I mean, especially in light of all of the self-service. I mean, I'm not even good at serving myself. You know, you got self-service at the gas station, got to pump your own gas. You got the good old days when somebody will come out and attend it and check your oil and wipe your windshield. Days gone by. Now it's all self-service. Self-service at the grocery store. 10 items or less, serve yourself. They had a self-serve at our job, the dining hall. You could pick up what you want, go to the self-checkout, and leave. Well, they had to hire a guard. Because obviously people don't know how to self-check themselves. And it tickled me because I was like, wouldn't it have been easier just to hire a cashier? But that's the age in which we live. We live in the time when service has hit a hard time. We can say most service come with a frown. If anything at all, you know. Sometimes I leave a place and don't even know if the transaction is finished. They didn't say nothing and I ain't saying nothing. I'm like, you're welcome. Thank you. Out of this transaction come to a close, but service has hit a hard time. And I believe that the church can help change not only the service industry, but we're able to change people's lives altogether. We, the church, can in fact be the model of service. I think I'm on to something here. I think we can make change the world as we model our service unto others. Because the number one reason for bad service is bad customers. See, when you go to the service side, they say that it is the customers that are ungrateful. It is the customers that have unrealistic expectations. It's the customers walking to their business thinking that the customer is always right. It's hard to serve when you have bad customers. It's hard to serve with gladness when you have bad customers. It's easy to serve with a smile when you have all the resources that you need. You have good people working with you and for you. You have plenty of time to get the task done. It's easier to serve with a smile in good times. But it's hard. It's hard to serve when you have to deal with bad customers. Haddon Robinson, a mentor of mine, he tells a story of lunch. He was a seminary president. A pastor from the community came to him telling him how the seminary could help with evangelism. He said, you're training all your preachers to work inside. You're training none of them for the work outside the church. You're not training them for the streets. You're not training them for mission. You're not training them for evangelism. You really need to start teaching more about evangelism. And Haddon said he was getting a little tired of this conversation, so he started noticing that the waitress hasn't showed up. And so he endured this conversation some more. They need to invest in the community, invest in the local church. And then the waitress came up and the preacher just tore into her. You're asking her what we want. We don't even have our menus yet. We don't have water. This table is dirty. Where you been for the last 5 minutes? We've been here 5 minutes and I'm seeing you. He went in on the little waitress and hadn't just sat there and want the waitress walked off. He said, I'm interested in that conversation you were talking about. He said, the next time that waitress come back to the table, I want to see you invited to your church. See, the problem with bad service can often be bad customers. So I think I've come up with something that we can transform the service industry by simply being better customers. Okay. How can the church serve servers by being better customers? Well, there's a story about a man named Jed, a poor mountaineer who barely kept his family fed. Well, one day old Jed was shooting at some food. And up through the ground came some, y'all heard this story before? Bubbling crude. Oil, that is. Black gold. Texas tea. Well, the next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. Kim folks said, Jed, move away from there. Said California is the place you ought to be. So he loaded up the truck. Hills, that is. Swimming pools and movie stars. The Beverly Hillbillies. Now, the Beverly Hillbillies, the Jed Clampett, are the stars. But the one who serves them is a man by the name of Mr. Drysdale. Mr. Drysdale is the servant of the Clampets. Now, Mr. Drysdale served the third bank in California, and he sees the Clampet as the customer that's going to take him over the top. And Mr. Drysdale does everything he can to support the Clampets. The Clampets have some strange ways. They have some strange vocabulary. They call the swimming pool the cement pond. They don't eat food. They eat victuals. They call the pool table the fancy dining table. They use pool sticks as long-handled pot movers. They come from a different place, but Mr. Drysdale is the example of a servant. You see, we're not called to be the presence of the world before Christ. We are called to be the presence of the Lord before the world. We serve him in this world. We serve the Lord. And we ought to be able to do it with a smile. Mr. Drysdale was able to do it with a smile because he remembered who his number one customer was. That's how we can keep a smile on our face. Because we got a customer who has a different vocabulary than the world. See, our customer, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Our number one customer says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We serve the Lord. The Lord is our number one client. The Lord is our number one customer. It's our job to try to make the world accept him and not change him for the world. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells a similar story of an unjust steward. This unjust steward was about to get fired. He got his 2 weeks notice to clear out his desk, get out of here, put your stuff in a box and get out of here in 2 weeks because he'd been lacking in his duties. So the unjust steward, what he does is goes out to some customers and say, how much do you owe my boss? The customers say, well, I owe him 100. He said, quickly write down 50. He goes to another customer and say, how much you owe? He said, 100 bushels of wheat. He said, quickly write down 80. I'm giving you a going out of business sale. And so the manager, when he sees the unjust steward, he commends him. He congratulates this bad guy for cutting deals and doing that. Not because he was immoral. He commended him because he used his time wisely. And brothers and sisters, we just have a limited time to be able to serve the Lord. And you don't have time to do it with a frown. You don't have time to do it with attitude because you only got a limited time to serve the Lord with gladness. He commended the man because he said when he was about to get fired, he got busy. When the going got tough, the tough got going. Literally, he knew he was about to get fired, so he made friends so that when he get fired, he can go get a job with them. What Jesus is trying to teach us is that we live in grace, and grace is limited to time. It don't last always. It will run out. Faith, hope, love abide, but not grace. Grace has time limit. Grace has an expiration date. God has given you the present and his grace to serve him this day. And you got to focus on who is your customer, who is your client. See, some of us, we get caught up with our coworkers. And you know your coworkers will get you fired. You hang out with the wrong coworkers, they'll throw you under the bus. They'll go in there and use you as an excuse for why they can't. I've done this stuff before. I've done it to other coworkers. I could have did a better. Now, I'm not talking about recently. I'm talking about when I was in my 20s trying to get ahead and thought this was a competition. But when we understand that Jesus, our Lord, is our number one customer, it is He whom we serve. In the text, Jesus says, in this Psalms, He says, serve the Lord with gladness. We can serve the Lord with joy. We can serve the Lord with happiness. Years ago, I offered a proposal to a conference I was speaking at. It was a men's conference. And I made a proposal in the conference. I said, what if we tip first? The idea fell on deaf ears. The idea just exploded. It just went left. It went sideways. They didn't get it. They didn't picture it. It was a magnificent failure. The reason that my tip first proposal fell so quickly is because it was this one guy that seemingly didn't like service. And he's told me that if we tip first, then we'll get bad service. He said they won't be motivated to serve you. They won't be motivated to do a good deed. They won't be motivated to take care of you if you tip them first. And I got to thinking about it. I said, I am so glad that you're not like God. I am so glad that you're not like the Lord. Because the Lord, He rewards us first. See, you don't work toward salvation. We work from salvation. I serve the Lord because He died for me. He gave His life for me. He risen on the third day for me, for His salvation. That's why I serve Him. Him waking me up this morning, that just gravy. Him starting me on my way is just being nice. Him giving me a brand new morning and a brand new energy, that's just the tip of the iceberg. He blesses us first. Before you even decide to do anything for the Lord has already blessed you. See, we serve from the tip. We happy to serve Him because what He's already done for us. And that's the reason why we can serve with a smile. Because we are servants of the Most High. And we have to serve the servants. You know, there was a couple of times Jesus needed some help. At the end of His struggle with Satan in the desert, the scripture says that the angels came and ministered unto Him. The servants came and served the server. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, after He had prayed and the disciples had went to sleep on Him, and Jesus says, nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. The scripture records that the angels came to strengthen Him. And brothers and sisters, I believe that we can minister to the service, that we can help others as they serve other people, that by simply being better customers, that we can help the entire service industry. We can help people in their service as they bring food to our car. We can bless them, be nice to them, be kind to them. As we are generous and nice to others, hopefully it'll make a change in their lives. And I realize some things are too hard for everybody, that everybody can't do it. I know you may not be spiritually mature to trust the Lord with your finances. You may not be at the place in your life where you're ready to commit time. But the reality is that everyone, according to Martin Luther King Jr., everyone can be great because anyone can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love to serve one another. As we live this life, as we attempt to serve one another, I believe it'll show up in our society. I believe it'll show up in our neighborhood. It'll show up in our family, and it will surely show up in our church. It'll show up in our community. It'll show up in our society. It will, as the church, begin to serve others. In the book of Philippians, Paul talks about how Jesus, being the number one customer, took off his customer outfit and put on a servant outfit. He came in the form of man. The Lord, he put on a servant uniform and he served even unto death. You know, when I was young, my grandmother used to sing a song. Every time she talked, it sounded like a song. It sounded like music to my ears. But she used to say a song about being on the battlefield for the Lord. She said, I'm on the battlefield for the Lord. And then there were some dark parts where, as a little boy, it was hard to understand. She said, if I die, let me die on the battlefield for the Lord. And I thought about that, and that used to trouble me. But then she went on to say, I will serve him till I die. Now, when I was young, I made that pledge because I was young, thought I'd live forever. So I said, I'll serve him till I die. And then all of a sudden, people got hard. Hard to deal with. But I remember my promise to serve him till I die. Then my finance ran low. It was hard to make ends meet. Bills got high. But I remember I promised him that I'll serve him till I die. I remember when friends left me. They said I was holy roller. They didn't want to hang out with me. I remember my promise. I promised him I will serve him till I die. Because grandma reminded me that serving the Lord will pay off after a while. She said, serving the Lord. She said, Junior, if you keep on serving him, it will pay off. May not pay off in money. May not pay off in houses. It may not pay off in cars. But it will pay off. It'll pay off with peace of mind. It'll pay off with a good night's sleep. It'll pay off with good friends that are looking out for you. It'll pay off with somebody to stand up and call out your name in church. It'll pay off. That's why we can serve the Lord with a smile on our face. We can serve the Lord with gladness. We can serve the Lord with joy. We can serve the Lord with happiness. Because the Lord is the number one customer. And I heard the choir singing earlier. He's already paid it all. He's already paid the bill. He's already paid the ticket. He's already paid the... You don't even have to worry about it. He already paid the price. And he paid it first. And I believe we can change society. I think we can change our community. If simply we are better customers, if we see being a good customer as a way to serve servants as they serve us, we're able to serve them with gladness. Serve the Lord with a smile. May God bless you and may God keep you this morning. At this time, as the ushers and greeters and the deacons come, we invite you to Ebenezer. You can come as a candidate for baptism. You can come by letter. You can come by Christian Experience. You can come by shoes. You can come by skates. You can come. Just come as you are. Who else? Come on. It was yours to accept or reject. May God bless you. Amen. Amen. We still have time. Amen. We do want to I'd like to use this time. I know that we sent out an email to many of our members concerning the souvenir books. I believe we'll have them ready next Sunday. So please come back next Sunday and we'll make sure we have those books ready for you. Trustee Davis.
Good morning on this beautiful Sunday. We have two candidates for baptism. Okay. Devon, come with me. Okay. This is Devon Samuel, and he's 10 years old, and he told me he was ready to be baptized. And
we're going to have to answer it yes or no. Are you ready to be baptized?
Yeah.
All right. I like your shirt, man. That's cool. That's how you come down. Come down with the church shirt on. Just in case y'all wondering how to do it. Thank you, brother. Thank you. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Amen.
And church, we have Serenity Samuel. And she's 12 years old. She told me she was nervous, but she wanted to do it.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Amen. There'd be something wrong if you wasn't nervous. So you coming to be baptized?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. We're going to add more conversation later. Before we're done with them, they'll be able to do the greeting. They'll be able to do the speeches. But we are thankful for them to come. Amen. Amen. reminding us it is the Lord who adds to his church. Amen. And if we serve him, keep him as our number one customer, then he will do what he do, and that change hearts and bring lives. So we're definitely grateful for them coming on this morning. At this time, we ask that you would make yourselves ready for Holy Communion.